the Monday edition, the Victory Monday edition, Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. Live with you, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, ESPN Madison on Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. I'm Alex Strofe, hanging out with you from the ESPN Milwaukee Gruber offices, one called That's All Studios. Hunter Vaughn is back at the Everlight Solar Studios in Madison. We will recap all things Packers, Seahawks. As the Packers advance to 10-4 with a nice win last night, we will get to that in just a moment. But I'd be remiss if I didn't start the show with what's actually happening in the real world, right? Like, we have the amazing opportunity to do this, right? Talk about sports, have fun, laugh, joke around with one another, because it's a break from real life. But when you see what happened in Madison today at Abundant Life Christian School on Monday morning, it just sucks. It's hard to think about anything else than what happened there and those families, and it really makes me upset. I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to give opinions on gun laws and all that, right? Like, that's not my point here. My point here is this is something that continues to happen, and now it has happened at home, and it makes me really, really frustrated and sad and bothered. But you know, if you do prayers, if you do thoughts, whatever you do, keep those families and that community in your thoughts and prayers, because this just sucks. And it happens often, and now it's happened at home. So I'm frustrated, I'm sad, and I'll leave it at that for now. But because I want to be the escape that we are, right? From real life. We what we do is so unserious in terms of what everyday life is. And yeah, this sucks. So anyway, all right, let's get back to what we do here, and that is talk about the Green Bay Packers, who got a 30-13 win over the Seattle Seahawks Sunday Night Football last night. Dominant win, dominant first half. All in all, I think it's finally that game you were looking for. And we'll dive into the second half a little bit in a second, because it wasn't great, but you still win the game by 17 points. It never felt like the game was in jeopardy, because Seattle maybe wasn't as good as I thought they were. And obviously losing Geno Smith hurts. Sam Howell is a fine backup quarterback, but he is not a starter in this league for a reason. And he wasn't going to lead a big comeback for Seattle. I think, all in all, you walk away from this one going, okay, that's proof of concept, right? You can go on the road in a tough, hostile environment. You can start fast on the road, shut up the crowd, get to business, build a big lead, and dominate a game. It's proof of concept. That is what you've been waiting to see, and obviously you'll have another great opportunity for that on the 29th when you go on the road to Minnesota. But to see the Packers do it, it's hard to win on the road it's hard to win in the NFL, period, but it's really hard to win on the road, especially in an environment like Seattle. And the Packers went in there, a long, sustained drive to start the game, and it really wasn't even that long. It was just a sustained drive that ended in 7. And that is something the Packers have lacked. So for me, who picked the Seahawks to win this game, who was worried about what the Seahawks offense could do to the Packers, it was really encouraging to see them start the game, touchdown, field goal, with their first three drives, when last week they went punt, turnover in their first three drives against Detroit. So that was an important thing I wanted to see, was are they capable of the fast starts we've seen them do before? Because what we've seen with Green Bay is if they get off to a fast start offensively, they typically win that game. And last night was a terrific example of that for Green Bay. Was get the ball first. They want the ball, and they're going to score. Like Matt Hasselbeck said back in 2001 in that game. They want the ball, and they're going to score. And that's what they did, right? They received the opening kickoff. They go down for 7. Josh Jacobs puts it in. Good defensive stance right away, forced to a punt, and then Romeo Doubs for 7, and then force another punt, get 3. So that was a really good start. And by the way, the defense showed the hell up, man. The defense showed up. This was the best they've looked all year. 2 turnovers from Geno Smith, who we said all of last week, That's not Joe Montana on the other end. That's not Patrick Mahomes. And while they have really good weapons on the Seattle offense, you're playing Geno Smith, who's a pretty average quarterback. And you can get him flustered. You can get him to make mistakes. And mistakes are what he did. Two interceptions for him last night. So, all in all, this is a big win for a ton of reasons. Number one, you stay a game ahead of... is it Washington, if I'm not mistaken, who's the 7th seed right now? And you stay in that 6th seed, because I don't think you want to go to Philly or Detroit or Minnesota at this point as the 7th seed, right? If you don't want to go to Philly or Minnesota or Detroit in wild card weekend. You want to go to Seattle or Los Angeles or Tampa Bay. And the Packers getting a win last night, looking like it will pretty much be their 6th seed. Big win for that reason. Number two, Packers now have double-digit wins. If you win double-digit games in the NFL, you're pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot. At 10-4, it looks like the Packers are, I think it is shaking up to be, with a win on Monday night next week, a week from today, the Packers will be in. That's likely how it will shake out this weekend, just with some of the tiebreakers, some of the help they need to quote-unquote clinch it. It's looking like a win next Monday will clinch a playoff spot for the Packers. But to get to double-digit wins, that effectively guarantees you're in the playoffs most years. So the Packers, even if for some reason they're to go 0-3, it's looking pretty good. So double-digit wins is always a big mark for NFL teams. Packers get that done yesterday, now 10-4. The fast start, I think, might be the most important thing to highlight from last night's game, which I already did. But I think it is so important to how the Packers succeed. The way the Packers win games is by starting fast. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. So, really impressive start. And Jordan Love, by the way, who we will talk about when we do stock up, stock down, he looks so damn comfortable, man. What Josh Jacobs has done to Jordan Love's confidence is remarkable. And it's evident. You start a game by hammering Jacobs, right? And Brian Bulaga had a brilliant line yesterday on Green Bay Game Day, who we do the pregame show with for road games. He said, yeah, I was 0-4 in Seattle in my career. But in an environment like Seattle that is known so well for being hostile and loud and hard to operate an offense in, he said, nothing bores a crowd more than four-yard runs, right? Run the football 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards. Nothing takes a crowd out of the game more than just little runs, bleeding the clock, bleeding the defense. And that's how the Packers started the game, which was huge. And Josh Jacobs, he's a workhorse. He is has been such a great addition to this Packers offense. And the way it opens things up for Jordan Love is remarkable. You know, I was texting my buddies last night during the game, and one of them said, you know, the way they're running the football right now and doing kind of the short dump offs and some of the short passes, Christian Watson's going to be open down the field at some point. And it was like three plays later, they had that 40 plus yard shot to Christian Watson that was caught down the left sideline. So it's predictable, but defenses still can't stop it. And that Seattle defense had been playing really solid football the last couple of weeks. The Packers did not make them look good, right? Four drives in a row in the first half. All four drives the Packers had, they scored in the first half. And then, by the way, the change of pace of that game was incredible, because in the first half, it felt like the Packers were in complete control. And then 17 series were run in the second half. 17 between the two teams. Packers only had four drives in the first half. There were 17 between the two teams in the second half, between punts and turnovers. It was a sloppy second half. So, the biggest positive for me from the Packers' 30-13 win over the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night is the fast start. If the Packers do that in the postseason, they will win games. Now, playing how they did in the second half is how you lose games to good playoff teams. If you go on the road to Philly or Detroit and you play like you played in the second half last night, you're not going to win a whole lot of football games. But I'm not freaking out. I'm not killing anybody for the second half performance. It just wasn't the same offense. It wasn't the same team. Really offense, more so than defense. It wasn't the same offense we saw in the first half. That was strategic and working its way down the field and getting points. The offense in the second half was more like, let's run three plays, we're done. The only time they scored a touchdown in the second half was when they only had to go 27 yards after the Edgerrin Cooper interception. So, not great, but it's still a 17-point win. And those are hard to get in the NFL. That's a three-possession game. But four punts and a turnover in the second half versus none of that in the first half, not great. But all in all, I feel good. I feel like that was a really impressive win. But the Packers might be allergic to playing a complete 60 minutes, which I think they've really only done once this year. I think that Arizona game was probably their best four-quarter performance. But we haven't seen a better first half than we saw last night. So thrilled about the start, not thrilled about the finish, but thrilled about the end result. That's where I land. Let's bring in Tiny Ants, Hunter Vaughn, who stayed up past his bedtime Friday night with me, out until 1:45 a.m. on State Street on Friday night with Hunter Vaughn. I was really proud of him on Friday.
That was
and
a rare
night,
thing
for me. Past his, I know it was. I was really proud of you. And then Sunday, staying up past his bedtime to watch the end of Packers Seahawks. What's up, Hunter?
I'm good. Was finally able to get some sleep and that after the long weekend. But we're rallying. We're doing good. Bubbler's a great friend and lots of caffeine. The fact that you said that, you know, the Packers are allergic to playing a complete game, like, it's why I feel like their ceiling is divisional round this year. As much as I've said, like, yeah, they feel like they're a Super Bowl team. Like, you can't be this late into the season and still be questioning if you can play a full 60-minute game for a team. Like, that's just eventually you're going to have to do it, and that's going to come in the playoffs. And they need to figure out a way to play a complete game. Like, blow out the Seahawks. Like, I know the score. I mean, I think the score is worse because of the fact that they had to go to a backup quarterback. Like, after Seattle got that touchdown early in the fourth quarter, like, if they've got Geno still there, I feel like, you know, maybe some of those demons of playing in Seattle start to come out and it becomes a tighter game. But when you've got a backup quarterback, like, it's just, it's hard to make a comeback like that. And the Packers needed to just completely put them away, and it didn't feel like they did that. So, like, that's why I feel like divisional round, because they can just get up early on somebody in the wild card round and then run away with it that way. But divisional round on, you have to play a full game, and I just don't know if the Packers are there.
So I hear you, and I think it's a really fair point, because the complete game we still haven't seen. But there is still so much talent that is untapped for this Packers team. Now, will they reach it in 2024? That is the million-dollar question. Because if you, Hunter, you've watched every Packers game. It's evident how talented this group is. But they are still the youngest team in the league, thus some of the mistakes and errors that they constantly make.
Yeah.
Last night, if they do what they did last night, I guess would be my point. If you have a 17-point lead at halftime, Philly might beat you. Detroit might find a way to come back and beat you. But this David Montgomery news is interesting. We'll get to that in a little bit, too, because I do want to whip around the NFC North with the Vikings and Bears playing tonight. If you start that fast, you're going to win most games. But yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't know that I'm ready to call what their ceiling is yet, because their ceiling might be Super Bowl champions. We just haven't seen that yet. But they clearly have the talent to get there at some point. And last night, I think, was a really good step specifically for the defense. 7 sacks for the pass rush. That is, I know they had 8 against Tennessee. 7 against Seattle, who does not have a very good offensive line, is still impressive and still a really encouraging sign of growth, hopefully, for some of those pieces that were in there, right? Edgerrin Cooper had the early sack. Kingsley Enagbare had 2 sacks. Rashawn Gary had a sack. Albeit against an inferior O-line, it's still something we haven't seen a ton of this year, and that was an encouraging sign. So I'm not ready to call their ceiling, but could you be right? Absolutely. But could they be Super Bowl good? I still think yes. I still think this team is capable of being Super Bowl good. I'm not there yet, but with 3 games left, if they go out and bully the Saints next Monday, if they go on the road to Minnesota and win convincingly, all of a sudden I think we're going, Yeah, they can get hot at the right time. And Jordan Love, I loved his mentality after the game, saying, yeah, I view all these games the rest of the way as playoff games. We don't really have room to lose more games, so it's a playoff game every week. And I like that. I think that's an important mindset to have here down the stretch as you approach January, and with a double-digit record now, 10-4, you're pretty much all but guaranteed in the playoffs. It's not 100%, but it's at like 99. So anyway, Hunter, go ahead.
Yeah, I just feel like the likelihood for them is divisional round. Like, I think any team, once you get into the playoffs, like, you can make a run. Teams can get hot and do what they're going to do, like the Giants did. Like, they're always the example of, like, you get hot at the end of the season, a lot can happen, you can make a run, and that's possible. My thing, though, is, like, yeah, the offense started hot. And I get the defense was playing well in that first half, too. But, like, most teams you're going to see, again, divisional round on, aren't going to go punt, field goal, interception, the half is over. Like, that's just not what you're going to see out of those type of teams. Because, like, Seattle, definitely not a team that I expect to see outside of they maybe get the wild card. Like,
yeah, they'll probably get the wild card.
Yeah. So I'm just like, that's where I'm like, yeah, this is they're a fine team, but they aren't somebody you're going to see past the first weekend of the playoffs.
No. No. No, I'm with you on that. And I think that's why that win was so important, because as you know, Hunter, I was not feeling good about this one. I did not like the Packers' chances last night going in. I was really nervous. I think partially it's that PTSD of think about the games that the Packers had in the bag in Seattle that they lost, particularly the Fail Mary and the 2014 NFC Championship game where they had, what was it, a 16-3 lead? And they found a way to lose that game in overtime. So, yeah, part of it was the environment and the history. Part of it was it's still really hard to figure out what this Packers team is to the conversation we're having. It's really hard to put a cap on their ceiling. Now, when you say divisional round, you're totally right. That and Jason Wilde, I got to give him credit, and I know he's referenced this a few times on Weekly Wilde, which you can find Mr. Irrelevant, the Mr. Irrelevant podcast feed every Thursday. Weekly Wilde, he said this on Thursday. He said, you know, I think back to when we did our Summerfest show. We do State of the Packers with Gabe Neitzel, Jason Wilde, and myself every year at the last weekend of Summerfest, and he said, all in all, I think this team could be better than last year, have a better record than last year, look more complete than last year, and get to the same spot they got to last year, which is losing in the divisional round. Absolutely possible. Absolutely. And I still view that as a success. If the Packers go on the road and win another playoff game this year, that's a success. Now, would I love to see them win the Super Bowl? Of course. Of course I would. But there's a realistic possibility that they could get to the same spot they did a year ago. And next year is the year where we're going Super Bowl expectations. So, we'll see. We'll see. Let's take a look at some of your comments rolling in ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Bill says, Strophy, I took your advice and I really did watch and paid attention to Chris Brooks when he was in the game. He is, like you said, a fullback and better at pass protection than Emmanuel Wilson. I see why his snaps have gone down. There you go, Bill. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on Friday. He was wondering, because Bill and I both really do like Emmanuel Wilson. I think he's a strong runner with the football. But Chris Brooks does a lot of really nice things for this Packers offense. So I was impressed by the little bit he did. He had a couple nice carries, too, did Chris Brooks. I think he only carried the ball 3 or 4 times. But one of them, I think he went for like 12 yards. So, yeah, he's been a nice addition, kind of out of nowhere. One of those, like, and look, Chris Brooks is not a name a lot of people are paying attention to. So I'm glad Bill did, because I think he does play an important role in this Packers offense. But it's one of those guys where he's an unsung hero. He flies under the radar. So I want to give him his credit when credit's due. Speaking of unsung heroes, right tackle Zach Tom was the second highest graded Packer yesterday by Pro Football Focus. You know offensive linemen for one of two reasons, typically, right? Number one is they have a great personality and they're a great interview, so reporters go to them and you see them all over social media. Number two is they commit a lot of penalties. That's when their name is said on the broadcast during the game. Those are typically the top two reasons you know offensive linemen well, right? Like, Tausche and Bulaga were both great tackles, right tackles specifically, and they were also great interviews. So you heard from them a lot, But and they were long tenured starters, so that's why you knew their name. But you weren't hearing it a lot on the broadcast because they didn't make mistakes. Zach Tom hasn't made a ton of mistakes this year. He's been really darn good. He is a really good offensive lineman. So give a little credit to our unsung heroes. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, I do want to discuss the idea of a signature win because that's something we've talked about a lot. We will also play some stock up, stock down. I do want to whip around the NFC North, and we will play what we learned. That's all still ahead as we continue to unpack the 30-13 win for the Green Bay Packers last night over the Seattle Seahawks. If you're joining us for the first time, this is Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroh. Producer Tiny Hands is Hunter Vaughn running the show for us today. Joshy DiMaggio is off today. He's typically with us as well. It's a three-man weave here on Mr. Irrelevant. We do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central and available wherever you get your podcast. Mr. Irrelevant is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Holidays are here. You're mixing up old fashions. Do it with the single malt whiskey, the 27-time gold medal award winner from Door County Distillery. Or you could do it with the bourbon, of course. You could do a bourbon old fashioned, which is delicious. I love their bourbon. I just drink it with a couple rocks. Or if brandy in your old fashioned is your style, how about the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery? Door County cherries made within or used to make the cherry brandy. That's how that works in distills, in distilleries. Pick it up. Retailers all over the state. Woodman's, liquor stores, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Stevens Point, wherever you are, Door County Distillery is with you. Check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com. Find a huge list of unique cocktail recipes as the retailer nearest you. We'll step aside for 60 seconds. Plenty more to unpack when it comes to the Packers 30-13 win over the Seahawks. We'll continue doing that on the other side. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroh.
Back at Door County Distillery, the New Year's coming up, so we're going to celebrate in style, making the final countdown with our buddy Rob from Door County Distillery. Rob, happy early New Year.
Yeah, happy early New Year to you, too. Do you have any resolutions coming up?
I've got many, but we shouldn't get into those now. We only have 60 seconds. We've got the 20 at least time award-winning single malt whiskey headlining this lineup. How do we make the final countdown?
All right, so you start with, as you said, the award-winning whiskey, single malt. 2.5 ounces of that, 1/2 ounce of grenadine, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, 3/4 ounce of lime juice. Stir, stay on the outside of the glass, give her a little once over around.
Happy New Year to you, happy New Year to you,
happy
Rob.
Happy New Year's,
the
cheers.
The final countdown from Door County Distillery. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at doorcountydistillery.com. That's doorcountydistillery.com. Yeah, doorcountydistillery.com is the website for Door County Distillery. Plenty more to unpack here. I haven't even mentioned the name Romeo Dobbs yet. He was awesome last night. Dude, he has great hands. I mean, that's been one thing we've always commended Romeo Dobbs on, is how strong he is. Last year down the stretch, I remember sitting here for Green Bay game day in Milwaukee, prior to the San Francisco game and just thinking, yeah, if there's a 50-50 ball, who do we want going up for it? The answer is Romeo Dobbs. And that catch at the end of the game, that final touchdown the Packers scored, was so impressive. After missing several games, getting back into the mix, scoring 2 touchdowns, I thought Dobbs was really good. Between him, Christian Watson has continued his nice streak of games with multiple catches. And Jaden Reed was definitely emphasized in the game plan last night. Nothing went for a big play, though. I think he had 5 catches for something like 35 yards. So nothing crazy for him, but really, really good game for all of those guys, the receivers. I mean, this is kind of that perfect blend you hope for offensively. 3 catches, 56 for Watson. 4 catches for 42 yards for Josh Jacobs, the running back. Romeo Dobbs had 3 for 40 in the 2 touchdowns. Tucker Crafted, 2 catches for 34 yards. And as I mentioned, Jaden Reed, 5 catches for 34 yards for him. Dontavian Wicks, quiet night, 2 for 14. So all in all, I mean, good spread of the ball by Jordan Love. Nobody had more than 5 catches. Jaden Reed had the most. Josh Jacobs had 4. Everybody else had 2 or 3. I'm good with that because it's hard to play against when you have 3 good options or 4 good options in the receiving game that can be a legitimate threat. I thought I thought Romeo Dobbs was great. I thought Christian Watson was great again, including that 36-yarder that I referenced earlier up the left sideline. Everybody had a big play. Tucker Kraft had that 26-yarder. None for Wicks or Reed, but all in all, good night for the receiving corps. Hunter, I go back and forth on this. Do I want a number one receiver? I said last week I do. What we saw last night is kind of the perfect storm, though. So I don't know where you land on it now, but
so
if that's what you get every week, I mean, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, but like I don't know. I was on board with it at first of like you don't need a number one, but the game that really sold me on it was seeing last week the Vikings and the Cardinals, that game, and Jordan Addison just going off because the Cardinals were like, we're going to double team Justin Jefferson all game. So like somebody else was wide open because you have like a receiver that you know the quarterback is obviously going to be going to, and it opens things up for everybody else. So I just like the way that that can work better. So that's why I still think I lean towards like, yeah, you need a guy. Doesn't have to be Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb good. But I think if an offense has a guy where the defense has to key on them more, it just kind of changes things for the better.
Yeah, Davante Adams, right, is obviously the most recent example for Green Bay. One of those guys who he's great to have on your side. And maybe somebody will emerge into that, right? Like, I'm still not ruling out if Christian Watson can stay healthy. He can evolve into a great NFL wide receiver. I still think Jaden Reed is going to be that dude. But it's been a quiet few weeks for him. And it was good to see. There was a little bit more emphasis in the game plan with five catches for him yesterday. But, would like to see some more. I don't know. Did he have any handoffs? Did I miss one? He may have had one, or he had three carries. Okay, three carries for 27. So, okay, good. I must have missed a couple of those. A 9-yard average out of the backfield for Jaden Reed. That's good. That's really good. It's above the average. 26 for 94 for Josh Jacobs. 26 carries again last night for him. So pretty much almost a perfect balance between Jacobs and Love. 27 passing attempts for Love, 26 carries for Josh Jacobs. So that's but 34 rushes, 34 plus 27 is 61. 61 plays. That's better. That's better than past weeks. You try to get the 70. I know that was the Mike McCarthyism. 70 offensive plays is what you want to run in a game. But 61 is better than what we've seen the last few weeks. It's been closer to like 45, which, again, that's another example of something that's not going to win you a ball game. But fast start the way the Packers did, certainly. An impressive sign, and hopefully something they can continue to roll into the postseason as a fast start. Get the ball, score quick. My rule of thumb was this. I said this at the end of Green Bay game day last night. If the Packers have 0 or 3 points at the end of the first quarter, they're going to lose. If they have 7 or more, they're going to win. And they did. I'm starting to realize how important this fast start is to the Packers' success. They're not going to win a lot of games if they don't score in the first quarter. They're just not. It's just not their MO. It's not their identity. If they start fast, they win football games. And when you have a 20-3 cushion at halftime, that certainly gives you an encouraging sign. And then, you know, each team scores 10 points in the second half, 30-13 in the final. Can they do it against teams on the road in the playoffs? That's what we have to wait and see. Unfortunately, you know, the Minnesota game is essentially a good test of that. Again, I've used the term proof of concept a few times today. Minnesota will give you the chance to have the proof of concept that you can go on the road in a hostile environment and start fast again, like the Packers did last night against Seattle. Hunter?
I think the only caveat to that is if the defense can somehow instead have a fast start and keep the other team scoreless, then I think, like, they're still in it, obviously. I don't think it's completely on the offense, but of the two units, I would rather be putting that pressure on the offense because, while the defense was great last night for the Packers, they haven't been great a lot all season or consistently great. So you'd rather say, offense, you got to get some points and be leading after one. Like, that's your better path to victory than saying, okay, well, if the offense doesn't have it, defense, you got to step up. You got to be there.
Yeah, I will say this, though. Last night was an encouraging sign. Now, you missed Quay Walker in coverage once he got injured, and I hope he's all right. As much as I've been hard on him, he's still one of your, if not your best option at linebacker. And he's better in coverage than guys like Eric Wilson and McDuffie. You know, Eric Wilson, it's funny. I was texting Joshy, and I said, genuine question. I have no idea how good Wilson and McDuffie are in coverage. And he goes, Wilson is not very good in coverage. And the very next play... Geno Smith dumped one right over his head. So it's just funny timing. Joshy and I were discussing that. But yeah, I mean, the thing with this defense is I'm walking away encouraged that maybe this is the start of a new chapter. And it's never that simple in the NFL. They're going to have a bad game at some point. But last night was really encouraging for this defense. Chef Ed chimes in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. Packers defense is young, fast, and aggressive. They'll go 2-1 in the last three. I think they're going to go 3-0 now. I was worried about last night more than I'm worried about Minnesota, because those guys are going to get up for that game. And while Minnesota is better than they were a year ago, I think the Packers are going to successfully get their lick back on December 29th. And look, I'm just so not bothered or worried at all about the Saints or Bears. The Bears in Week 18. Like, those guys already have their apartments packed. They're ready to go home for the offseason. Yeah, would they like to beat the Packers? Sure, but they're not going to. Matt LaFleur doesn't lose to the Bears. And it's at Lambeau, on their home field. The Packers are going to win that final week of the season. The Minnesota game is definitely the biggest challenge yet. Left, biggest game of the year for the, what, fourth or fifth time I say that? Biggest game of the year against the Minnesota Vikings on the 29th. It's a big one. But I feel really good about the Packers matching up. They're a better team than they were when they saw them in October. And look, Minnesota's probably playing better football than they were in October, but I don't think they have the ability to punch the Packers in the mouth the way they did that week. Jordan Love was coming back from the injury. There was no Jair, which there may not be come December 29th either. But this defense is getting better. I think you can visually see significant improvement defensively, which is huge. Because to Hunter's point, yeah, traditionally you can't rely on a Packers defense to get you out of a pickle. Hunter's totally right when he says that. But give us a little bit more confidence that they can keep us in ball games. If maybe the fast start doesn't happen in the divisional round. But if you can hold the opponent to, I don't know, 6 points? It's 6-0 when we're approaching halftime? Yeah. I'm encouraged, and let's get the stock up, stock down, because there's a couple pieces defensively that I want to highlight, but none bigger than the guy that returned yesterday. It's time now to play stock up, stock down on Mr. Relevant. We do this each and every Monday following Packers games, which means next week it will be Wednesday's show. We'll do stock up, stock down. And last week's show, it was Friday because they played on a Thursday. But nonetheless, we do it on the episode immediately following Packers games. And it's a one-game metric. This is not a long metric. It is looking at the game and seeing whose stock is on the heading the right direction following that game and whose stock is heading the wrong direction following that game. I don't have a ton of stock downs today, so we will start with stock up because I have more of those. I think the biggest stock up I have is Edrin Cooper. Edrin Cooper missing the last several games, proving why he is such an important piece to this Packers defense. Joshy pointed this out on Twitter, and I did not see the stat, so I'm glad Joshy pointed it out. Cooper only played 58% of the snaps. He had 7 tackles. He had 2 quarterback hits. He had 2 pass breakups. He had an interception and a sack and 2 tackles for loss. 58% of the snaps he did that. So, number one, I imagine this is probably easing him back in from injury. He should be on the field 100% of snaps. He's your best linebacker. Edrin Cooper is the Packers' best linebacker. He's a game wrecker. He's maniacal. He's athletic. He's quick. He does a lot of things really well, and he still makes mistakes, but you expect that from rookies. He didn't make a ton last night, though. Edrin Cooper had a huge game. It was the best game of his young NFL career. And I am so excited the Packers have a dude like him. Brian Gutekunst's first-round picks might not usually hit, but boy, do his second-round picks contribute big. And Edrin Cooper contributed big last night. Was really impressed with his return. Good to have him back. And he got a game ball, so good for him. Let's stick with stock up. And let's talk about the quarterback, Jordan Love. He's been on my stock up list each of the last couple of weeks because it's clear, number one, he's healthy, which was not the case for a large part prior to the bye of the season. He dealt with the knee, dealt with the groin. It seems like he's back to 100%. One thing that is so underappreciated about Jordan Love's game, and I know it's been getting some love recently on social media, but I can't stress this enough. It's so impressive how he doesn't take sacks. If he takes one a game, a lot. Again, yesterday he wasn't sacked, didn't throw an interception, didn't turn the ball over. Threw two touchdowns, completed most of his passes. I mean, he started the game, I think, 9 of 9 in terms of passing. Maybe he was 8 of 8. Finished 20 of 27. I thought he was awesome last night. This is the quarterback you want. And by no means is he Aaron Rodgers. But I am just so impressed with his cool, calm collectedness. He is so poised. He is clearly a great leader for this Packers team. And now we are to the point of the Toyota-thon that Jordan Love has been dubbed, where he's minimizing mistakes. He doesn't take sacks. He doesn't throw interceptions. He hasn't thrown one in, what, 4 weeks now? After leading the NFL for a majority of the season in interceptions, despite missing a few games? That part's been completely worked out of his system for the most. Like, he'll still throw an interception. Don't get me wrong. It's not like he's never going to throw an interception again. But this is a really nice and encouraging streak for Jordan Love in terms of keeping the ball clean and playing a clean game. So I was really impressed with Jordan Love last night. Again. So awesome game for him. 20-27, 229 yards, 2 touchdowns for Jordan Love. And I don't think he did a ton in the rushing game. Yeah, just the 1 carry for 4 yards, which was the one part of our underdog entry that did not hit. But if you flexed it like I did, you still made a little bit of money. I think I made $7 on my $20 entry. So, hey, I didn't lose money. I made money. Never complain about it that on Underdog. Use promo code GoodKarma at sign up. Tell you more about them in a bit. IROC on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat. The fact any of y'all had this defense giving up 20 points during your predictions was silly. Go Pack, go. Yeah, I had the Packers losing 21-17, and they weren't giving up points. Only allowed one touchdown and a couple field goals. This was a stock-up game for Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley gets a stock-up. I got after him a few weeks ago. That Bears game was really concerning. That Lions game was really concerning. They couldn't get off the field. Last night was not that at all. They could get off the field. I mean, there were 17 possessions in the second half between the two teams. That tells you the defenses were doing their job both ways. Offenses weren't, but defenses were in the second half. And in the first half, you only allowed 3 points. So I was super impressed by the Packers' defense. Jeff Hafley gets a stock up. Pass rush gets a stock up. 7 sacks last night. Rashawn Gary getting in the action. Edrin Cooper getting in the action. Kingsley Enagbare getting 2 sacks. It exists. It's possible. We've been saying it all year. When is the pass rush finally going to show up? It did last night. 7 sacks, 12 QB hits in total. I don't know that I'm sold that this is going to be a common theme going forward. It might be against worse teams than you. So, like, when you play the Saints, and whether it's Jake Haener or Derek Carr or whoever plays quarterback next week, I've got a little bit of faith that the Packers can get after them, despite New Orleans. New Orleans has a pretty good offensive line, including University of Stevens Point legend Ryan Ramczyk, University of Wisconsin legend. But I've got faith they can continue this, stretch it out to 2 games, and then let's see what they've got. If they're playing their best ball entering Minnesota, I feel pretty good about that. So, IROC, fair point by you. Joe, are people aware when Reed has over 150 yards, we lose? Odd fact. Yeah, I actually pointed that out a couple weeks ago. Jaden Reed's best games have come against Philadelphia, Minnesota, and that first Detroit game. His 3 best games of the season. So he's right about that. I would love this to be a 4-3, to be Quay, Cooper, and McDuffie if they ain't going to play Hopper. Yeah, true. But you're not seeing a lot of base defense from the Packers. You're seeing more 2 linebacker sets than you are 3, because they're a nickel most of the time. But, yeah, I mean, Quay and Cooper are your two. McDuffie rolls in there. Eric Wilson rolls in there a little bit too, especially in rush defense when opposite teams are running the ball. But, obviously everybody has to be deathly impressed by Edrin Cooper. And then you have to be happy with Quay Walker prior to the injury. It's not like he made any criminal mistakes yesterday. McDuffie's been good. I mean, he was really good yesterday. I was impressed with him as well. He's been impressive the last couple weeks. So I don't feel as bad about this linebacker position as I did earlier in the season. That's for sure. And I feel better about the pass rush. I'm just hoping we can figure out this Jair Alexander situation. Because, man, wouldn't it be great to have a great corner? Carrington Valentine gets an interception last night. Really should have had it the play prior, but he got it nonetheless. Eric Stokes is cooked, man. So, getting Jair back would be big for that. Okay, let's go to stock down. Eric Wilson. Strictly because I don't trust him in coverage. I mentioned the play that me and Joshy were texting about. He was fine, but I don't trust him in pass coverage. And when you're playing a team with multiple solid receiving options like the Seahawks are, right? JSN, who had a great night still, 7 catches for him. DK Metcalf, who made a few plays. Tyler Lockett was a non-factor. But you worry about what those guys can do over the middle. And Eric Wilson, I just don't trust him there. I trust Quay Walker. I'm starting to trust Edrin Cooper the more I see of him. So Eric Wilson, I just don't want to see him in pass defense. That's it. He's a good special teamser. He's a good depth option at linebacker. I don't have a problem with Eric Wilson. It's just he was forced to play yesterday due to Quay Walker's injury, and I wasn't terribly impressed with him. So stock down to Eric Wilson. Stock down to the second half offense, who we've talked plenty about already. It was a little teensy tiny bit frustrating the way this offense kind of disappeared. 8 drives in the second half. Only able to convert that into 10 points. And the touchdown comes when you get the ball back in your own territory. You got the ball on the 27-yard line, so you better make that 7. And they did. But other than that, the offense just really couldn't move the ball as well as they did in the first half. Now, that goes back to the importance of a fast start. Because when you play a team like Seattle, or if you play a team like Tampa Bay in the wild card round, if you can build a cushion, right, like a 17-point lead like the Packers had at halftime, you're putting yourself in a really good position to win the game, even if your offense stalls out in the second half, which it did for the most part last night for the Packers, and they still found a way to score 30 points. So, yeah, not great, but a win's a win. You're never going to apologize for winning. And they still won by 3 possessions. They still won by 17. So all in all, stock is down to Packers second half offense. That's stock up, stock down. Let me know what I missed. Let me know what you think. Did I miss anybody? Did I not give enough credit? Stock up Romeo Doubs. Another 2 touchdown game for him. I don't really feel comfortable giving a lot of stock downs today. That was a really good game, and it was a really encouraging game. I feel a lot better about the Packers today than I did yesterday, prior to the game. I don't have everything figured out, but I don't know that you can get that in one game. It was a dominant win with a fast start and a good defensive performance. That's the type of win I wanted to see, and that's the type of win I think the Packers needed. So I feel really good about where the Packers are at. And I feel good where my bank account's at. Like I said, I won a couple bucks on Underdog yesterday. Underdogfantasy.com. The Underdog app is the best way to elevate your game watching experience. No matter the sport, football, basketball, baseball when it's in season, hockey, boxing, all available on the Underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up and get up to a 100% deposit match and a free pick when you sign up for the first time on Underdog. Their pick'em game is really easy. You look at players' projections on their stats, you click higher or lower, right? So, for example, if it's Jordan Love, 1.5 passing touchdowns, and you click higher, that would have worked last night. You can get up to 1,000 times your money. Win up to 1,000 times your money. You can turn a buck into a grand on Underdog and UnderdogFantasy.com. What are you waiting for? Throw 20 bucks in there. You get 20 extra dollars. You get 40 bucks. You can turn a buck into a grand. Call it a day. It's the Underdog app and underdogfantasy.com, but you have to use that promo code at sign up. Good Karma, all one word, GOODKARMA. Good Karma at sign up to get up to 100% of deposit match and a free pick at sign up. Oh, I'll be playing Underdog tonight. Monday Night Football doubleheader. So there will be plenty of Underdogs entries going out tonight. Specifically around this Vikings-Bears game, 7 o'clock on ABC tonight. The Bears 4-9 head to Minnesota, the Vikings 11-2. And with the Lions' loss last night, the Vikings are right back in this NFC North race. And those are the two teams that play Week 18. That game could end up being for the division, which is really fun, depending on you know, how some of these things go down the rest of the way for Detroit and Minnesota. Minnesota obviously has Green Bay in a couple of weeks, which is a big for them. Detroit losing yesterday to Buffalo. They play at the Bears, at the Niners, and then home against the Vikings to wrap up the regular season. But the Lions now without David Montgomery. And the Lions' bread and butter this season, Hunter, has been that 1-2 punch in their backfield. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. So with Montgomery out indefinitely and with fears that his season is over, I'm curious how that derails what the Lions like to do. Because they'll run those guys down your throat if you can't stop it. That's their game. And they lose a tough one yesterday, 48-42 to the Bills. But without Montgomery, I mean... you're not getting better with that injury. I don't know that you're significantly worse, but you're certainly not able to do one of the best parts about your team as well as you could prior. So that's a concerning injury for them.
Yeah, and I just looked just to see who else they have in their, like, who have gotten carries this year. I have no idea who these running backs are. Never heard of these guys in my life. Craig Reynolds.
I think it's a wide receiver, isn't it?
No, he's listed as a running back. They have a different wide receiver that's named Reynolds. And then a guy that I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name.
Sione Vakai, maybe?
Yeah. I was like, I wasn't going to try.
Craig Reynolds is a running back, yeah.
So, that's going to be tough if he misses an extended period of time here. Like,
it sounds like his season's over.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. I saw that there were still some questions and testing earlier when that came out. Yeah, that's tough. What do they even do then? Like, is there somebody that's out there just like on the street that they can pull in? Because, I mean, I feel like that's almost what they have to do, but I have no idea who would be out there.
I mean, maybe they trust this Craig Reynolds character. Craig Reynolds. Oh, okay. I know why I was confused and thought he was a receiver. He wears jersey number 13 and he's their main kickoff returner. So I just kind of always assumed he was a receiver because 13 to me, receiver. Maybe they trust him. He's been in the league a while. He's been in the league since 2019 when he started his career in Washington. Played the 2020 season in Jacksonville, and then he has been with the Lions since 2021, so here in his fourth season in Detroit. But you're right. It is a bad injury for them. Now, again, I don't think I would say they're no longer the best team in the NFC because of it. I still think they are. Did you see what they did against Buffalo? I mean, that was a Madden game. Those two played. By the way, score got me in that game, 48-42. They combined for 90 points. They combined for over 1,000 yards of offense. Jared Goff this season has thrown a game where he's thrown 5 interceptions and won, and he has thrown a game where he's thrown 5 touchdowns and lost. Isn't that absurd?
Only Jared Goff could do that.
Yeah, that's one of the most banana stats you will ever hear. He has played a game where he's thrown 5 interceptions and won, and he has thrown a game where he's thrown 5 touchdowns and lost. That is the Jared Goff experience, man. He's a good quarterback, and he had a great game yesterday, but he was going against the MVP. Josh Allen solidified MVP status yesterday. Now, Lamar Jackson certainly still has a case. He threw 5 touchdowns yesterday, but Josh Allen is the MVP. And the Buffalo Bills are a really damn good team. Now, their defense could be a little better. But that offense can run with anybody in the league, bar none. That was a really fun game to watch during Green Bay game day yesterday. I mean, that was an impressive football game. Real-life Madden stuff, 48-42, the Lions fall. So the Lions are now 12-2 on the season. The Vikings, 11-2 with a win over Chicago tonight. They would be tied with Detroit. Detroit does have the tiebreaker beating Minnesota earlier in the year, a final 31-29 in that one. But this division's back open. Not for Green Bay. I think with four losses, they're done. They would have had to beat Detroit last week, because then all of a sudden Detroit is 11-3. The Packers are then 11-3.
Yep.
And Minnesota would have the opportunity to be 11-3. So if the Packers could have found a way to win that game last week, it's anybody's division down the stretch. It's likely now going to come down to Detroit and Minnesota, but Minnesota has to get a win tonight. And look, I'm a believer in Minnesota now. I'm not a believer to the point where I think they're Super Bowl good, but I think they're a top four team in the NFC for sure, right? Like, I think it's Detroit, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, and probably in that order. I think they're the third best team right now. The record proves it. They have a win over Green Bay. It's a team that beat them. I will change my mind if Green Bay goes to Minnesota on the 29th and wins, but they're really impressive. If you have not watched much of the Vikings this year, you need to watch tonight, because this is a team that does a lot of things really well, specifically on the defensive side of the football. Brian Flores is a brilliant defensive mind and defensive coordinator. And offensively, Kevin O'Connell, who should win Coach of the Year, has this offense humming. Sam Darnold has been terrific this year. Like, this dude is going to play his way into a big contract. Whether that's in Minnesota or elsewhere will be decided, but he's going to play his way into a big contract. And he has just been awesome. Kevin O'Connell has gotten the most out of him. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones. When you've got weapons like that, you have the recipe for a super high-powered offense. So if you have not watched much Minnesota, my homework for you before we reconvene on Wednesday is flip that game on tonight and watch Minnesota. Because I think they win big tonight against the Chicago Bears. That one's on ABC, so you don't need cable even. I mean, you can just have your normal local channels and you'll be able to watch that one tonight with the doubleheader. The other game is Falcons-Raiders. That game has no sex appeal, man. I just do not care. The Raiders are horrible. They're 2-11. And the Falcons are on a complete downward spiral.
Hang on. Hang on. At least the Raiders have Brock Bowers. He's fun to watch. He's a really tight end.
Really good tight end.
Yeah. So if for whatever reason you get really excited about tight end play, then that's the game for you. But that's about it. And you can watch the Falcons have Kyle Pitts, who for whatever reason they choose not to really use. So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Darnell Mooney, baby. Darnell Mooney and Drake London are both in top 10 of receiving yards this year for Atlanta. I mean, that's an offense that puts up numbers. It's just they've really struggled.
Kirk Cousins also throws a billion interceptions.
He does. Kirk O'Chains, yeah. He has had quite a fall from grace here down the stretch. Falcons are 6-7. They came back to .500 tonight with a win over the Raiders. But Bears-Vikings is much more intriguing game to me. I'm also just genuinely curious to see the development of Caleb Williams under Thomas Brown. I have not watched a Bears game, since they played the Packers a couple weeks ago. So I am intrigued to see that. Dusk VR chimes in and says, LOL, Tiny Hands, I am definitely not watching a game just to see Brock Bowers.
I know. I understand. I'm just trying to have some positive. We do work for ESPN. Like, got to be slightly positive about Monday Night Football. And that's the best that's I can fair. Do for that game.
Well, there's a better game. Where is which broadcast booth is which? Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are in Minnesota, right?
Oh, I hope they are. Like,
I'm pretty sure they said last week they've got that game. And I'm not sure what the other booth is. I don't know who does the other game for them.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Is that our guy Steve Levy, maybe? I think our guy Steve Levy might have the other game.
So that'll be a solid, like, if you're a play-by-play nerd like I am, then I might tune in.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I might actually just be taking notes during that game. So, yeah, see, there's some positives. You just have to be a real big nerd. So,
yeah, there you go. Brock Bowers and Steve Levy. There's Hunter's sales
star
job
power
on why you should watch Raiders Falcons tonight. Oh man, Joe chimes in. If Bears win tonight, the Vikings fans would collapse, and I'm here for it. Yeah, that'd be a meltdown, bro. And I'm also here for it. It would be a total meltdown. And I hope they do. Right, I'm rooting for the Bears tonight. Just like I was on Thanksgiving. So I take it back. I have watched the Bears since. I note often root for the Bears, but when they play the Lions and Vikings, I root for the Bears. I would like to see the Vikings lose tonight. Here's what I would like to see. I think my perfect scenario, maybe I'll change my mind on this. Let's just work through this for a moment. I think the perfect scenario is Minnesota wins the division and they're the 2 seed. So So Philly wins the NFC. Philadelphia gets the bye. They're the one seed. Minnesota wins the division, is the two seed, so has to play wild card weekend. And then it goes two seed Minnesota, three seed whoever, Tampa Bay, four seed Seattle or the Rams, five seed Detroit, six seed Green Bay, seven seed Washington. I think that's ideal playoff scenario because I think Minnesota could fall to Washington because that offense is that good. So I think the seven seed could win in wild. I think all three wild card could win in that scenario. That's why I think it's ideal. And then all of a sudden you've got Washington going to Philly and you've got Green Bay going to Detroit, divisional round. And then it's anybody's ballgame. That would be my ideal scenario. That's the one I want to talk myself into.
You know,
Hunter, you down with that?
Yeah, and I realized, you know, had I known this going into the show, we could have fired up the ESPN playoff machine and then actually worked this out with the last couple of weeks of the season. So maybe that's something.
Let's do that Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm down to take a look at that on Wednesday. We will also play some One Word on Wednesday. We will do all that. But as we do every episode, we wrap up the show. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today or this weekend. It's time now for what we learned. What I learned this weekend, I learned a couple of things this weekend. I was in Madison Friday and Saturday for the fourth annual 608 basketball tournament held by Madison College. And our friend Bill Kegler, who does a terrific job with that tournament, is always such a blast. And despite several teams missing key components and key players, it was still a great tournament. Getting to see a guy like Xavier Mitchell up close and personal, the Iowa State commit at Oshkosh North, incredible talent. I mean, he is absolutely phenomenal. Scored 37 on Friday night, scored 38 on Saturday night, which were both 608 tournament records. So he broke the record Friday, then broke his own record Saturday, which was fun. So high school sports, still very fun. That is one thing I learned. Another thing I learned. Hunter Vaughn hits the town. Oh, I was talking to our buddy Will, known as Intern Will, no longer Intern Will, now Part-Time Will, Producer Will. He said, I don't know Hunter at all, but he hits me as more of a homebody. Like, he hits me as somebody that doesn't really go out. And I go, Will, I had Hunter out until 1:45 a.m. on Friday. So,
yeah,
you can get after it still. You've still got it in you, Hunter.
I do, every now and again. The monster comes out, but that's a rare occasion. And then I get, it was an interesting time waking up and getting the first question you get asked was, when did you get home? And you gotta be honest.
And you said what, about 2 o'clock?
Yep. Was honest in like 2 a.m. And my wife,
how'd
was,
she respond?
She was like, didn't you tell me you were going to be home by like midnight, 12:30? I was like, yeah. Yes, I did tell you that, but that did not happen. So we were safe. We were still responsible. It was just a much later night than I expected it to be.
Yeah, we were chopping it up. We were talking about the media industry, talking a little work, talking a little bit of football. I had a few cocktails. I was Ubering, so I got after it a little bit more than Hunter did, I think. But I stayed in a nice hotel in downtown Madison. It's always great. I mean, it's a great city. It was great to be back in Madison, and it was a really fun weekend. Hunter, you got what we learned?
Yeah, I've got two of them real quick. The first one, Wisconsin Badgers football. They're on a transfer portal heater as they got a D lineman
this
quarterback.
This morning was crazy.
Yeah. Got a D lineman commit, plus then Danny O'Neill, the true freshman quarterback from San Diego State, committed. Don't look at his stats. Like, people are going to look at his stats. San Diego State was really bad. He was running for his life. He was tied for the 23rd in the country for most sack quarterbacks this year. Like, dude had no chance as a true freshman. I think he's a much better quarterback than what his stats show. So, feeling good about that. And then also learned, as we've got SportsCenter on here in the control room, I'm going to call my shot right now. The Buffalo Bills are going to get the one seed in the AFC. Remaining schedule for them and the Chiefs, who are the top two seeds right now. The Chiefs have Houston at home, then they go at Pittsburgh, at Denver to finish the year. Meanwhile, Buffalo has the Patriots at home, the Jets at home, then the Patriots on the road. Bills are going to win out. With an injured Patrick Mahomes, I think the Chiefs go 1-2.
The Bills do have the tiebreaker, mm-hmm. which is important here. They did beat the Chiefs head to head earlier in the year, but they are at a two-game disadvantage. So you're right. The Chiefs need to go 1-2, and the Bills need to win out in order to get the one seed. I like that call, but that's not something you learned. That's a shot you're calling.
Well, I mean, I learned that this is going to happen, and I'm calling my shot that it's going to happen because I'm that confident in it that I just learned
it. Good spin. No, that was a good spin by you. That was I learned that this is a possibility, jackass. Very well done. Very well done. All right, we're back with you Wednesday. Joshy will rejoin us Wednesday. Our last couple of shows for the year. We will do a show Wednesday. We will do a show Friday. We will do a show next Monday live from Green Bay ahead of Packers and Saints. And then we will just have our weekly Wildies on Thursdays until January 3rd. What's that, Friday? Or is it that Wednesday? January 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have three shows left. We will do the 18th, the 20th, the 23rd, and then we are back January 3rd. We're going to take about a week and a half break around the holidays, around Christmas and New Year's. Hunter and I are both off at the end of the year. So other than Weekly Wildy, which I will still do, record, and upload every Thursday, we will be done for the year. After next Monday's pregame show, I had a Packers Saints live in Green Bay. I'm working on a special guest for Monday in person. I'll just put it that way. We'll see if we make it happen. That's a week from today. But we are back with you Wednesday, beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Available wherever you get your podcast. If you're not already, please subscribe to Mr. Irrelevant. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. Will be the first thing that pops up. Click subscribe for me. Rate it 5 stars. It helps us, and it helps you stay connected to the show. So we'd appreciate if you do that if you haven't already, if you're watching with us on YouTube. We'll talk to you Wednesday. It's been Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroph. Go Pack Go. Bang on the drum all day. Peace.